Radio.
Tell me what you said to the Iraqi leadership and how far you're willing to push them.
On the security front, I think there's a general consensus that we've made major progress, that the surge has worked. That's been a major success.
Two-thirds of Americans say it's not worth fighting.
So?
Welcome back. Joe Radio, 106.7 WJFK, DC Superstation. Junkies in the morning, Big O and Dukes. Middays, the Mike O'Mara Show starts Monday, don't you know? Oh, that's going to be new and exciting. Ah, yes indeed. And Jim Rome in the evening. My fellow Joe Merrick. So anyway, I want to mention that my guest tonight was Bobby Atrestein from Center for Paranormal Research and Investigation. So check out virginiaghost.com. Great guest, great website. Who doesn't love a good ghost story? Now, before we broke, I got a lot to cover tonight. Now I only have an hour to do it. I'm going to run through a few things, and you're welcome to call 1-800-636-1067 or you can email me at joeradio1067@aol.com or joeradio1067 on the good old MySpace. Before we went to break, I did mention if you want to call in and tell me if you've ever seen somebody do something really disgusting in a restaurant, like floss their teeth, because that's what I saw this week, and I couldn't believe it. And that's inviting you ladies to call in, because I'm sure you probably had bad dates where guys did bad things. A couple of things I want to go over there. I had this from last week, and I wasn't on the air last week. So I want to propose, now on Joe Radio, my fellow Joe Americans, as your fearless leader, I don't want to ever talk down to you. I'm not Bill O'Reilly, and I'm not Sean Hannity, and I'm not Rush Limbaugh. I strive not to be like them. I'm not super educated. I graduated from high school, and that was it. And then I entered the School of Hard Knocks, and I'm still trying to get my degree there. But we've discussed this on the show before, and I want to put it out to people who might be more knowledgeable than I on this subject. The Second Amendment is going to be brought before the Supreme Court this summer, I believe, regarding people's rights to keep handguns in Washington, D.C. And correct me if I'm wrong, but the focus is on a guy who's suing because he's a security guard, but he lives in the district. He's not allowed to keep his handguns in his house, even though he needs them to do his job, right? So this is going to the Supreme Court. Now, what I'm putting before you is does the Second Amendment allow you to keep and bear arms? Well, of course it does. But my angle on this, my angle is, if the Supreme Court says, well, yeah, you can, let me back up. As I understand it, you're allowed to have rifles and shotguns in D.C., no handguns. Now, kind of the gist of this lawsuit is if I can have shotguns and rifles, why can't I have a pistol or a handgun, sidearm, if you will? And so what it's going to come down to is the Supreme Court going to rule that, yeah, you can have guns, but jurisdictions have the rights to tell you what kinds you can and cannot have. 800-636-1067. Is that what we're looking at here? And do you see what I see when I tell you that's a sticky wicket for the Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms? Because if it's left up to local governments to determine what kind of firearms you can and can't have, then local jurisdictions could, under the mandate of the Supreme Court, forbid you to have any. That's the way I see it. That's my angle on it. So that's a sticky wicket. Like I said, I don't know a lot about that. And I don't own a gun. I have a BB gun. But that's about it. You know, I'm not anti-gun. Don't get me wrong. I'm not anti-gun. You can have them or you can't have them. I don't personally care about that. That's so much, you know what I mean? Another thing I wanted to go over was gas prices and my take on that. You know, are you feeling it at home economically? Are you feeling gas prices? The Mike O'Mara show will air here in Fairfax, and I myself, having driven to Rockville and back for the past couple of years, have noticed that the increase in gas prices is definitely puts a little bit of a hole in your pocket. Now that we're back in Fairfax, I'm happy because I'll be spending about $1 a day in gas getting to and from work. Not bragging. I know a lot of people out there. My wife works all the way around the Beltway, and she gets stuck in rush hour every day, and it just drains the life out of her. But are you starting to feel it in your budget? Gas predicted to go to $4 a gallon. In some places, already there, I suppose. But when they're talking about $4 a gallon, they're talking about average. So that means it's higher in some places and lower in others. And last week, Congress had big oil executives down on Capitol Hill to kind of explain their $123 billion profits. And they're basically saying, well, they're saying that they make an acceptable return. Well, I would suggest that they do. They also get $18 billion in tax breaks, stretched over 10 years, but seems that somebody making $123 billion could probably front out $18 billion in taxes. Okay, so here's where I'm going with this. I did a little research on the internet. You're definitely invited to call 800-636-1067. The number one American, the number two oil company was Exxon. This is per 2005, so I know these statistics are old, but you can bet that they're pretty close still. BP in the UK was at number five. Royal Dutch Shell at number six. Chevron in the US was at number eight. ConocoPhillips US at number 11. France was tied at 8, total, an oil company in France. And the empty spots, number 1, number 3, and number 4, and number 7, and number 10. Number 1 is Saudi Aramco, which is the Saudis. Iran is at number 3. Venezuela, there you go, at 4. PetroChina at 7, and Pemex at number 10. All of these, except China, are owned by their respective governments. In other words, they're not private companies. China is actually owned 90% by the Chinese government. So in a minute, we're going to address who bought the other 10%. JB.
Yeah.
What's up?
How you doing, man? Want to talk about guns?
Sure, let's talk about guns.
Hey, you know what? I think we gotta stop the Democrats from coming on in and taking our guns and telling us what type of guns we can have, how many guns we can have. That's just wrong. That's not American.
Well, do you see it the same way I do? Have you checked out what's before the Supreme Court, and do you see it the way I see it, where they're actually, if they rule that DC can ban handguns, they're basically saying that your local government can tell you which kind of gun, whether they're Democrat or Republican. It has nothing to do with that.
Oh, well, I don't know. I mean, that's what you say. You're probably one of them Democrats.
Right. Sure I am.
Yeah. Well, I mean.
Democrats. JB, you don't get the point. The point is it's not Democrat or Republican issue. It's a state versus a private citizens issue. It doesn't matter if they're Democrats or Republicans. You know, I dropped you off because you're in your car and the sound was a little bad. But, I mean, you got to look past this. We've got to look past this, or this country is doomed. They're all the same people. And I'll tell you, I'm going to make that point because I was talking about big oil. Who owned 10% of the Chinese government's oil? Now, in the cases of, like, Iran and I'm looking here, Venezuela, and Saudi, that's 100% owned by the government. So you see, in a way, they don't count. They don't count like when Exxon says, or when the gas companies in America say, or just private gas companies, it doesn't matter whether they're in America or they're held in London or Canada, private companies having $123 billion in profits and saying, well, that's just, you know, what we get for our labor. That's fine. But, you know, these companies like China, they own all the oil. So really saying that they're making profits, it doesn't really, in a way, it doesn't pertain to them because they're dictatorships and the government owns all their oil, okay? But China had 10% shares of their oil sold to a private investment. Now, this was in May 2007. A company called Berkshire Hathaway had 10% of PetroChina. A communist country. Remember, we used to not do business with communists. Being ideologically opposed on two sides, we didn't do business with communists. Because, you know, they're kind of like, they're kind of like what Saddam Hussein was. Dictators, government running over the will of the people, and so on. I know what you're saying. Joe, get to your point, and I shall. The company called Berkshire Hathaway, their CEO is none other than Warren Buffett. You may recognize his name. he owns about one-third of that 10%. He has since dumped those shares last October, right before they took a hit. Berkshire still owns less than 5% of shares in PetroChina. Warren Buffett, who is he, class? Well, he owns News Corp, the parent of Fox News. Sean Hannity, Bill O'Reilly. So the owner of the Fair and Balanced Channel, and I think for JB's sake, we can agree he might be a Republican. Republican, he might be, because even though Fox is fair and balanced, we all know what side it's balanced on. But the owner of the Fair and Balanced Channel has achieved an inestimable amount of his wealth dealing with a communist government. How do you feel about that? 800-636-1067. Why don't you call Hannity and O'Reilly and ask them about that? Chinese slave labor. And I'll get to the torch relay for the Olympics in China in just a second. But first, it's my first listener, first caller. Irvin, how are you?
Joe. Hey, you know, with this oil ordeal, don't you think that politically it's controlled by the politics of governments, how everything, country to country, just like with China? You know, China will buy every drop of oil they can get their hands on because they can afford it.
Right.
In this country, no matter where you go, everything you buy is made in China. Well, they're making the money. We're not making money. We're having to pay the price.
We're borrowing their money.
Well, basically, and with talking about, you know, dealing with these communist countries, you know, you made a good point there a few weeks ago about with Cuba.
Right.
You know, a little island like Cuba, cigars is such a big deal compared to the toys that China makes that has the poisons, you know, the lead, and not to say with food and different other things that they make that is bad. And it's acted as upon like it's not such a big deal.
Right.
You know, it's thrown in our face like, well, what are you going to do about it?
Well, like so many things, I think you get my point, Irvin. I mean, it is thrown in your face. It's like when Dick Cheney is sitting there and the interviewer says, well, the American people don't like the war, and he says so. I mean, that's the problem, and he's a Republican, and it doesn't matter if it's a Republican.
Well, it doesn't matter about what political side that you choose, because politics is politics. It doesn't really have anything to do with that. It's to do with the way the politics is run. Whatever way you want to do, or your party, that's entirely up to the party to do that way. It's just like with Bush when he got into office, how he took so much control of
going to war. It was,
right.
It was going to war. Hell or high water will come if we don't go to war.
Right.
And through all these false accusations out there to make it look like that we were really needing to do something. Now, you know, 6 years, whatever, later, looking back, and we start seeing that a lot of this was nothing more than like smoke and mirrors to
gotcha.
Channel money into directions that certain companies that never had to bid for the first time ever.
Right.
You know, just like with Bush getting in office, you know, the first president.
I'll be doing shows on that, too. I
was not elected.
Yeah. All right, Irvin, thanks for the call. I got another guy on here who might say I'm wrong.
Well, that's great.
Thanks, man.
You have a good one, man.
Yeah, Irvin brings up a couple of great points. And I think before I got it, before I got my guest on the air, I was looking at, what was I saying about, bear with me. I go through a few notes here. Well, we're going to talk distraction, but let me go to Rodney real quick. Rodney, how are you doing tonight? Welcome to Joe Radio.
Hey.
Hey. Yeah.
Okay, first of all, Warren Buffett doesn't own News Corp.
He doesn't?
No. Warren Buffett owns Geico. Berkshire Hathaway owns Geico and a ton of other companies.
Okay, good, but you're straightening me out on that. But
yeah. Well, he's not a Republican. He's a Democrat. Yeah, he said he will support either Clinton or Obama, either one that wins.
Well, we've all learned something together then, haven't we?
Yeah, and he is right now the richest man in the world.
Right.
But he's one of the, he's not your typical billionaire. He is
Oh, you know what? I am mistaken. It's Rupert Murdoch that's all about Fox News. Ah, my bad. Thanks for straightening me out.
And Rupert Murdoch is a piece of work. He is.
Yeah. Oh, see, there you go. Now, I knew something. That's why I brought it up, because I knew there was something wrong, and it turns out I was wrong. But, yeah, okay. Then that just makes me want to research Warren Buffett even more. Not because he's a Democrat, but because he's dealing with communists, and that's something I want to get to. As far as, you know, before I took my guest, I was talking about the Bush being booed at the Nats home opener. And I was saying, yeah, Bush is unpopular, but he is our president. There's really no point in booing the president at a baseball game when your economy is in shambles. You know what I mean? That does nothing for the country. He doesn't care. He might as well just raise his finger at you.
I agree, except for one thing. I think with most people, when you go through life and you know, like with this administration, you know you're being ignored, you know they couldn't care less
right.
about what your opinion is, the people who are at that home opener, that's the one and only shot they were going to get to voice it.
Good
now,
point.
It's kind of hard to pass up on that one and only
I know.
Shot you're going to get.
I know. I just wonder if people understand what I'm saying is if they all went home and wrote their representatives, they would get things done. I know it works.
When you work the system, because I've actually had that, I had a problem with Virginia telling me that they tried to tax me $10,000 for 1 month's worth of work when I first moved into the state.
Right.
And I called my state representative, and within 3 weeks, it was all straightened out.
Yeah.
Now, and these were people I didn't vote for because, you know, and they worked with me, they straightened it out, and they were very receptive when I actually contacted them. You can work the system. It's just that most people don't.
Yeah, no, they don't. They'd rather boo at a baseball game, you
right.
know. And they go home and they think, well, that's what I did. And you know, I'm not putting them. I swear, I'm not putting them down. And I get your point that they're definitely. Hey, this may be their only chance to make a statement right to the president's face, or literally, quite literally. But you know, there's other ways to go about it. You know, and but thanks for your call.
You're welcome.
See ya. Well, we all learned together on that one. Yeah, I'm all screwed up. See, I'm always talking out my ass. No wonder I don't make the big bucks, huh? Warren Buffett. I'm a moron. Hey, isolate that. No, I am. I'm an uneducated guy, but I mean, I work hard, and I like to work hard, and I love my country. And, okay, so we're on this. We're talking oil. We're talking booing President Bush. We're talking about the Olympic torch. it's having a little bit of a rough run getting across the country, isn't it? And again, I think the Olympic torch, the people protesting the Olympics in China, they have every right to do it. And I don't know how China got an Olympics. I don't. Who rubber stamped that? They should have seen this coming. The Olympic committee, whatever it's called, the muckety-mucks of the Olympics. But really, the torch thing is a distraction. I like to talk about distractions in popular culture, in media, in general everyday life in America. 800-636-1067 if you want to chime in on this one. This is kind of a distraction. What a distraction is something when we've got things going on, people losing their houses. God, a neighbor of mine just put his place up for sale. I don't know if he's broke or if he's hit the big time or what, but it's another house for sale. It isn't going to sell. But you got a lot of things going on in this country that are just wrong. Number one, the war. There's nothing to be gained from this war at this point. Not really a cut and runner. I do support the troops, but I think at this point we need to support the troops by getting them out. That's support. But when I talk about distractions, propagandists throughout history have gotten away with things while directing the public's eye on emotional issues. They get away with high crimes and misdemeanors by diverting attention from what they're doing and getting people caught up in an emotional issue. And I say that the Olympic torch is just such a distraction. If the people in our country cared as much about what's going on in Iraq or big oil's profits as they pillage our pocketbooks, or what's going on in the savings and loan, or just how government is run in general. If they cared as much about that as they do spending time protesting the torch and commenting and blogging on it and all that things, we'd be in pretty good shape in this country. 800-636-1067. Like I said, I didn't do too much research on this. I was almost afraid of what I might find out. But when you see these kinds of protests out on the Golden Gate Bridge, some guys went up, on rappelled up, rappelled down with banners. And they had this big protest banner. I mean, who paid for that? Who are these guys climbing the bridge? They're very, very talented guys. Who pays for the flyers and food and hotel fees for these protesters? Because you got, whenever they have a World Bank meeting in D.C., the protesters are out in force. But they all look like kids. I mean, they look like young kids. So you follow the money on all these protests. See who's behind it. I don't know. I'm just putting it out there for you. Remember, there are distractions in everyday life. You have to. There's nothing about the Olympic torch protesting is going to do anything about the Olympics in China. Chris?
Yes, I'm here.
What can I do for you? Oil talk. Are you going to straighten me out?
Well, I just wanted to point out that I've been tracking the price of oil since it was about $60 a barrel.
Yes.
And if you go to WashingtonPost.com and you put in oil in a search there, every article I've read on the price of oil and what it's trading at that day basically breaks it down that it's a big economic house of cards, and the politicians really can't do anything about it.
Right. The investors are driving, the futures are driving up the price. I understand that.
Right. So if oil's bought and sold in dollars, and all the foreigners who figure, well, we've got euros and we've got yen and all that stuff, which is trading way higher than dollar, we're going to go jump into the oil market and drive it up.
Right.
So really, when Cheney or Bush goes over to Saudi Arabia and says, hey, give us more oil, the Washington Post articles every time say that the fundamentals of supply and demand are not driving up the price of oil. It's the whole house of cards with Bernanke jacking down the interest rates and weakens the dollar, which has all the traders going to a frenzy, and they've got to offer a hedge against them losing money on the mortgage.
Right.
And all the banking system. So really, our politicians can't do anything about the price of oil. It's basically just the capitalism game that's going on. Well, we're all basically caught up in it.
How about instead of having this half-assed war, we went in full-ass and wiped out everybody in Iraq and took the oil and turned to the neighbors out there and said, who's next? You know, politicians could do something about it, but they just keep going in there every day and picking up a piece of paper on the left side of the desk and putting it on the right side.
Well, that's the problem. I work with a guy who was in the Marine Corps, and he was going to reenlist to get the big cash bonus.
Right.
In the Marines, but now he's gotten a letter that says, hey, you were with us for 4 years, but we basically own you for 8, so
yeah,
come on back into the Marines, and we're going to send you in. We don't have enough troops to go kick everybody's ass all over the place and do what you just suggested.
I know.
We don't have enough guys.
I know. Well,
unless we reinstate the draft, and that wouldn't be so popular populace.
Of course, they know that if they did that, the war would be over tomorrow. That would be it. Because the kids would finally all take off their iPods and put down their PlayStations and go down to Capitol Hill with pitchforks and hay.
Well, I don't know about that either, because as far back, everybody says the 60s were this liberal haven, but as far back as history can go, the United States has been pretty darn conservative, and everybody will rally around a war or whatever.
Yeah.
But in the 60s, the conservative groups on campus had larger numbers than any of the liberal groups, and all the hippies were kind of a minority.
Well, yeah. I'm tracking with you there. Well, thanks for the call, man.
No problem.
See ya.
Bye.
Matt.
Yes, sir.
Welcome to Joe Radio. What can I do for you?
Yes, sir. I wanted to just shoot a couple of the items you talked about, especially the economy right now.
Okay, please do.
I'm a small business owner in the area, and we...
Congratulations.
...in housing, built homes in the area, and everybody's talking about the crunch room with the housing market. And a lot of the blame keeps getting pushed back to the president. You talked about him being at the game, and it's not going to help the economy by booing him.
Right.
We need to realize that this stuff comes down to our own personal responsibility, that 90% of this problem is revolving around mortgage deals that never should have been approved in the first place, and they knew it, and people going into mortgages above their head. This is not something you can pin back on a president who told us the whole time that responsibility is the key to running our country.
Well, I got you there. I'm not blaming the president for the housing. I know exactly who brought that on, but I do resent our government handing over wheelbarrows of cash to save them. They should save.
I completely agree with you.
Okay, good.
I cannot disdain that situation anymore, that we're bailing out people who made their own mistakes.
Right.
And secondly, on the war, you made the statement you don't know what good could come of this. I don't know if you've been watching anything going on in Iran right now, but if we could continue the process of developing a stable Iraqi situation, which is taking longer than we conceivably thought.
Obviously.
I think everybody understands that.
I agree.
But we must press forward on that. There's steady progress, and the more stable we make them, the less of a threat Iran is to us. And honestly, I think Iran is probably the number one threat to us in the world right now.
Well, yeah, but how much of a threat? You see, I'm not preaching down to you, but listen to a couple of things. It was once said that Iraq was in possession of 26,000 liters of anthrax, but that was a lie. They claimed that Iraq was in possession of 3,800 liters of botulium, whatever that is, toxin. That was a lie. Claimed that Iraq was in possession of 500 tons of sarin, mustard, and VX nerve agent. That was a lie. I mean, I'm not sure we can... Sure, Iran's the biggest threat, but they're over there and we're over here. You see what I'm saying?
I understand that. Their diplomacy within that region affects what we're doing right now as far as gas prices are concerned.
Yeah.
Their hand is in the middle of all that.
Yeah.
And as long as that little house is on edge,
you're right,
we're going to continue to pay that right now.
Well, you know,
as long as they're scared, we're going to continue to pay for it over here. And the more stability that we can try to bring to that area,
yeah,
the better off we're going to be.
Well, Matt, you make great points. Thanks for calling in.
Appreciate it, sir.
I love my listeners. That guy, I don't know that we solved anything, but we had a good debate. Thanks for calling in, Matt. That's what it's all about here. That's definitely what it's about. Let's see. I want to take the guy who's been on hold longest. Justin.
Yes.
How are you? Welcome to Joe Radio.
Hi, I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing?
Fine. What can I do for you?
I just think the point that you're bringing up, how many people were caught up with the Olympic Games, is as big of a deal as it is. What's the other point I was going to try to make? If the millions of people that vote every week or however they do it for American Idol
right.
took time to go and actually vote on not just the presidency coming up, but different members of Congress, Senate, you know, whatever may have you, we might actually get more. We need more involved.
We might get the
TV show.
We might get true representatives. That's a great point. Because isn't it like 20 million people vote on American Idol? I'm not sure of the number, but it's astronomical.
I know.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, if I know some people probably vote more than once, but regardless, it's in the millions. And if those many people actually voted, you know, we would actually have a better representation. It might be the same people, but at least we would know that it's a better representation of more of the country. But no, they're more, you know, caring about if Sanjaya gets a record deal.
Right.
And if, who is the head of our country. And really, I mean, yes, it is definitely a big deal that the president of the United States. But the other thing that people need to be watching about are the laws that are going through.
Yeah.
And the Senate and the Congress. Because remember, there's three parts of this system. And I would say, yes, the president and the judicial system are big, but the Congress and Senate do a lot of what goes through.
Of course.
And without that, I mean, yeah, people need to just, you know, in summary, people need to pay attention more to what's going on in the world than what's going on Fox.
All right, but that was my point about the torch relay. It's not a big deal. It is not, but when it's put on the news channels 24/7, it's an emotional issue that distracts you from things like the war, from the housing, all that stuff. That's my point. I'm not saying those people are right or wrong, or I mean, I think they're kind of wasting their time, but you're free to do what you want. But I'm saying the media's coverage of it is so overblown that it's a distraction. That's all I'm asking my listeners to be aware of.
Right, and just like, you know, American Idol is a distraction that gets covered on headline news and CNN, as well as what kind of rehab Britney Spears is in. I mean, I will say this though, I believe you're right in the statement about we need not to be so wrapped up in the torch run.
Right,
but I was so happy to see that rather than watching a car go to the courts and then not even show up, a.k.a. Britney Spears.
Right.
I mean, at least it was some type of issue people could look at that has a little bit of relevance.
Yeah.
But you're right. I mean, it completely overshadowed General Petraeus. I think this was, I'm not saying it was planned, but people were more focused on that than what he was saying on Capitol Hill.
Yeah. Well, listen.
It's huge.
Thanks for the call, Justin. You make great points, and I love you guys for listening because I love the debates we have.
All right, Joe, you have a good one.
Thank you.
Yep.
Oh, you guys are the best callers. Hey, listen, I had to cut him short because I got to take a quick break, and then we'll come back and wrap up the show. Tim and David, please hang on the line. I'll take your calls when we get back in just a few minutes. But I got to squeeze in a break before the top of the hour. So everybody stand tight. I'll be right back after these messages.